You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The darkness is exactly what I need. It's how you look at your situation. And I was looking at it all fucked up. You have to first accept it before you can fix it. A lot of people walk around, oh man, I'm good. No, you're not. You have to accept what you're not. And people don't want to do that. And that's the only way you can fix it. You have to accept it first before you can go on the journey. A lot of folks never even start the journey, man. They never start the journey because they live in this fake life that who they want to be, they act like they are, but they're not because they haven't fixed all this stuff yet. You got to fix this first before we can start our journey in life. So that's why I have them make this list. You fix these problems, now your journey can begin because you no longer care about how people are judging you. When you care more about how someone's judging you, you're going to stay right there. There's no forward momentum. Each thing that is wrong with you has to be a focal point. You can't look at this gigantic list and say, I got to change all this shit. My God, this is crazy. No. You take off the first one. I want to be smarter. For me, that was my thing. I have to become more intelligent. I have such a severe learning disability, man. I can't retain shit. I had to now get that one thing and then strategize in that one problem. How can I do this? I'm not going to learn like you. I'm not going to learn like anybody else. How am I going to figure this out? So I then figured out, okay, where are my strengths here? Where are my weaknesses in learning? All right, man, how am I going to do this? And I figured out a way to do it by just strategizing. So how I learn to this day, if I have a big manual to study, I will have to get a bunch of spiral notebooks from the daggone store. I have to write each page out, maybe 10 times. So there was a 1,000-page dive manual that I got 18 months before I went to dive school. Most people, I'm not smart, I'm gonna go see if I can pass this test. I realized, hang on a second, I'm not smart. How can I get past this? How can I get through this obstacle? I need to acquire this book 18 months in advance because it could take me 18 months to write down each page over and over again to then put it to memory. So when the question came up, I had written that question so many times down on paper that I can recall, okay, page 71 was where I remember seeing this, and I can recall it that way. And that's how I did it. So you got to strategize on each problem you have in life. Slowly break down that problem. Don't think about all the problems you have, just one at a time. And before you know it, you fix all these problems, but you cannot focus on all of them, just on the one thing at a time. Mediocrity is everywhere right now, and we're all trying to find an easy way out, and we're judging ourselves. Let's say there's 10 people in this room, and we're all mediocre, but I'm the best of the mediocre people. I now think I'm great. I'm great. We surround ourselves around people that make us feel great, that tell us what we want to hear. The second we put ourselves amongst the uncommon people, we don't like that feeling, that challenging feeling of that person who's waking up at 3:30 in the morning and says, hey, put your shit on, we're going for a run. We don't like that challenge. We like that person who says, hey, you know, man, I don't feel good today, man. And they say, oh, it's okay, brother. We'll take a day off. Maybe we'll get a pizza and shit, watch the game. We like that. We love that feeling. Why? Because you understand, man, we're good, bro. We don't want that motherfuckers like this. Hey, man, no, bro. Get your fucking shit on, man. Stop being a punk. We don't want that in our lives. We don't want that person who's constantly challenging our weaknesses. We want that person who's constantly, you know, making us feel nice and good and secure in ours. That's the mediocrity of life. We want to be the best amongst the average people. People wonder, how do you stay hungry all the time? Because after I accomplish something, I don't sit back like a lot of guys who graduate buzz, graduate this, graduate that. They get comfortable. They wonder why I'm getting weak, man. I don't know. I lost my edge. What's going on? Because once you hit the top of the fucking mountain, guess what happened? I'm good. So you wonder why you're falling down now. Because once you reach the top of the mountain, you got to build a fucking other one. There's a lot of people in mediocrity who have a nice resume, but they're one-timers, man. They hit a one-time deal. They busted it open, got a lot of money, but they're good. You're mediocre now, man. What are you fucking doing today, tomorrow, the next fucking day? I view myself as the weakest person on the planet Earth. My goal in life was to, in my mind, believe I'm the hardest man alive. Whatever you think you are, you have to make that dream a reality. But that's where the hard part is making that dream a reality. That's where the hard work comes. That's where people know, how do you keep grinding every day? You have to make those insecurities, those fears. Like when I was 300 pounds, I didn't have any drive. I'm gonna go be a Navy SEAL. What kind of stupid shit is that, 300 pounds? There wasn't like a drive to go be a Navy SEAL. I was an insecure, lying kid, afraid. I had to look in my insecurities and in my fear and find drive in that. We're all looking for passion. Passion's all around you. You have a whole fucking stack of it all around you. It's your insecurities, all that shit. You got to dive deep in that shit. It's all in there. All the energy and fuel you need is right.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
In yourself, it's all there. You got a lot of stuff to do to overcome. And, you know, that's where I found it. I found it right there in my own insecurities. I found drive in my own insecurities. And that's the most powerful thing in the world. When you can find drive in your own doubt, fear, insecurities, you become very unstoppable. I believe in a higher power. Don't know the name, don't know where it's coming from. But I believe that this power, let's say it's a man up there or a woman, whatever, and they have a chart. And when you're born, they say David Goggins, born February 17th, 1975 at 6 a.m. They write the chart down because they can see everything. They know exactly what you're fucking supposed to be. They know what you're supposed to be. You die, you go to so-called heaven. You arrive at heaven, I'm 300 pounds. I retired as an Ecolab guy, which is okay. It's just a job, whatever. I go up there and God looks at me and he shows me my chart. And my chart on there says you were supposed to be a Navy SEAL. You're supposed to weigh 185 pounds. You're supposed to be one of the smartest people on the planet. This, all this. You see this. And now you're in heaven. You made it to heaven. But you're like, God, Doug, I was supposed to live that life. I was supposed to live that life. And then you find out that the reason why, because we all think that if we pray on it, if we do this, if we do that, whatever, if we don't work, we just, whatever, it's going to magically happen for us. No, I believe that when I'm all said and done with, my whole job is to outwork the chart. Whatever the fucking chart says about me, the all-knowing power up there, I want to get up there and say, him look at me and say, I know everything. I didn't fucking see this. I didn't fucking see this. I want to feel that. I want to get to the other end of this fucking world. I want to find more. All I can. And in that fucking sack of shit, you have to dive in that to find more. Because if you're not willing to go in there and face yourself, you're not going to find anything. You're going to live right here on surface, man, right here on surface. So if there is an ending to this world and there is somewhere to go and there's a judgment, you're going to get there and you might see a chart. And that chart may tell you who the fuck you should have been. And now you get the rest of your life to think about that. Man, I could have lived a much better life if I just would have just suffered a little bit more. If I just would have went in that shit and realized I had so much more. But fear and the 40% and living here versus living here, being afraid, stop me. So that's, I'm a big guy in visualizing. I'm a big guy in making a world. It may not exist. To me, it does. To me, it does. And I'm overpowering myself every day. And you got to find tools to do that. That's the tool that I use. So that's what it's all about. I believe in winning the battle against yourself. People say, why do you say that? Because there's a lot of things you can control. When you wake up, I talk about making your bed. Make your bed. Make sure your house is clean. Make sure you get your breakfast. Make sure you shower, shave. Whatever you're doing, control that. Don't hit the snooze button. All these things are very important. That's been told a lot of times. Why don't you hit the snooze button? Because you wake up already failing. You're already behind the power curve. So what happens when you hit the snooze button? You may not make your bed. You may not do your hair the way you want it. You may not pick the right clothes out in the morning time. And I go back to this real quick. Remember how you had a job interview for a job? We've had several of them in our lives. What did you do the night before that job, weeks before the job interview, when you knew you had it? You prepared your, you know, you had a bowl out for your oatmeal, your cereal, whatever you had in the morning time. Your coffee cup was out. Your clothes were laid out. You studied. You rehearsed. You were ready. You brought your best self. Mm. You were going to war with yourself because you wanted that interviewer to see your best self. You won. You got the job. After a few months in that job, you look around. I got the job. Start to back off. The clothes aren't out. You're not ready. You're hitting the snooze button. You don't get up on time anymore. You realize that you can still have this job and not be your best self. The interview you is gone. Your job is gone. You have your job, but the interview you is gone. So winning the battle in the morning time is just that. It's that you wake up in the morning time and you own all this stuff. Because once you leave your house, the world then gets at you. And that's why I believe in not getting up in the morning time and checking your phone immediately. Everybody does that. They get up, the first thing they do is grab their phone. Look at the phone. Maybe bad news on there. Mm. So how's your day start off? I don't go to the gym. I don't make my bed. You're caught up now on that phone. That's how your day starts. You lost control. So once you win that battle in the morning time, then once you go out, now you've won. You go outside your house. You may lose your job. You may have a bad hit, but you won something. So you're going into battle having already won something. Having already won. So then if you hit the snooze button, you go out, you're just defeated already. You're behind the power curve. Now you've won something. You feel better about yourself. Mm. So now you're able to take these hits along the way.
Yeah.
So that's the mindset that I think it's important to bring with you every day you go. Mm. Everywhere you go in life. And anybody, not just Navy SEALs, but anybody that can accomplish anything that is hard. Mm-hmm. The only separator is that they really want to be there. Mm-hmm. There's some people that get inspired, mm-hmm. and that inspiration moves them to try to do something. But the inspiration is very high right now in this nice environment. We're in a nice environment. Mm-hmm. The ocean's out there. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to you. If I want to go to the fucking refrigerator and get something to drink, mm-hmm. eat, I can. I watch a movie about some badasses, you're inspired. Mm-hmm. But the second you're not in this environment, mm-hmm. and you're actually doing what inspired you, that suck factor is now real. You can't just get off your fucking couch and get a fucking shake, mm-hmm. or get a fucking box of donuts, or turn the TV, or go take a shit or a piss, or mm-hmm. go get your girlfriend to cuddle up. No, mm-hmm. you're now there. And only those people who have been there a million times in their minds and have lived in that water and have suffered a million times and realize my legs may break, my knee may break, my bones will hurt. I will be the coldest I've been in my life. I will be miserable and accept that. Because what happens is when you get in a horrible situation in life, your mind, I call it my 1 second decision. When you get in a horrible situation in life, your mind immediately says, get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. Everybody's does, even if you want to be there. Mm-hmm. But it starts to have all these different questions mm-hmm. in your mind in that 1 second. And it says, okay, why are you here? Why are you doing this? Why this? Why that? And then you start to say to yourself, if you don't want to be there that bad, I have a beautiful wife at home, man. Why the fuck am I doing this, man? Mm-hmm. Like, this is stupid. This is going to get these guys injured. Like they're going to pay for this for the rest of their lives. I'm not going to break my body up to do this. Mm-hmm. Your mind starts to say, yeah, this is stupid. But if you are already knowing that this is going to happen to you, you have all the answers to these questions that your mind starts to give you when you're in suffer mode. When I was 297 pounds and I was fat as hell trying to be a Navy SEAL, the scariest thing in the world to me, even to this day, was that that could have been the rest of my life. I thought then I was trying hard. That's the scariest thing in the world. I thought then 297 pound working for Ecolab, spraying for cockroaches, making $1,000 a month. I thought that was me at my 100% potential. Come to find out, a few years later, I wasn't anywhere near that. 106 pounds less, graduated Navy SEAL training, went on to do all these other things. Looking back on that, that was me trying hard. That's why people got to understand what is in us, we have no idea until we start trying hard. And I mean really trying hard, where you're obsessed with, hey, this is my new norm. My new norm is that, wow, this isn't always fun. It's not always meant to be fun. And that's when you know you're trying hard. We all have two people. We all have two people. And I'm not saying you're crazy. We have the easy voice, which is that 20% telling yourself that I'm easy at 90% of my full potential, maybe 100% at that 20%. That's that voice that we all love. That's that very comfortable voice, that's that mommy holding you saying it's going to be okay. Doesn't care how good you are, just loves you. Just loves you no matter how messed up you are in life. That's where you want to be at. So that's that one voice. This other voice that we walk very far away from is the voice saying, hey man, you ain't doing shit. So we try to get this voice out of our head completely. And we live over here in this land. So what you have to do first is turn up this voice over here. The voice saying things to you that aren't nice. That it's in our head saying, you know what, man, dude, you're not doing shit. I mean, and it's not putting yourself down. People take this the wrong way in this new society. I'm not saying to put yourself down. I'm saying listen to the truth. And the truth isn't in the 20%. The truth is in this other part of your brain saying, look, man, you're wasting a bunch of percentage here. We have 80 more percent that we're not tapping into, because in this other 80% is suffering, pain, failure, self-doubt, darkness, and then a whole bunch of light. But to get to this light, you got to go through all of this shit. So a lot of us know that. We know.
We do know deep down.
Yeah, I can get over here. But over here, man, this is much better, because I got to go through this journey that is not fun. This from 20 to 100%, this shit in between is not fun. So we decide to live over here. So everybody goes, how do you do that? You know exactly how to do that. You know exactly. It's not a magic trick. There's nothing I talk about in that book that's a magic trick. It's all back down to a very primitive mindset of we just have to do. It's like breathing. Breathing becomes normal. Like, we don't even know that we're doing it. That's how you have to live your life. When that alarm clock goes off at 4 or 5 in the morning, your mind says no. You just say, it's just what we do. is what we do now. Because to get to where you want to go, the amount of pain involved, I'm not saying physical, I'm not saying you got to break yourself off, the amount of mental pain of how many times you're going to have to do something that you don't want to do to get to where you want to go is going to be, there's going to be more times you do something that you don't want to do than you are going to want to do it. And that's your new norm. That's your new norm. So then it's like breathing. And then once you do this over and over and over again, it becomes like breathing. I don't want to live this lifestyle, but to get to the other side of this, I have to. So if you really want it, you realize what trying is and what trying is not. And your brain is the most powerful weapon. I talk about that in one of these chapters. Your brain is the most powerful weapon in the world. Once you put away your phones and your computers and all that shit we have nowadays, yeah, that's great. We're up to date. But your brain is the only thing you have when you're going through depression, when you're going through hard times, you're going through death, real life shit. You can't Google that shit, man. You're alone. You're alone. You may have a shrink you're going to. You may have a best friend you're going to. But there's 24 hours in the day where you're alone in this brain. And your brain is talking to you in all kinds of ways. And it wants to control you and pull you in these different pockets. If you can't control your own brain and your brain controls you, you're fucked. You got to tell your brain where you want to go and how you want to go and how you want to get there. You got to control it. If not, it's over. It's over.
And all of that you learned from your own brain. You didn't Google this shit.
No.
You didn't buy books.
It didn't exist. This shit didn't exist. I couldn't even fucking spell Google back then. This shit didn't exist, man. What existed for me was, okay, man, how am I going to fucking make this work? And all I knew back then was hard work. The only way anything gets accomplished. That's all I heard back in those days. You got to work hard. You got to work hard. I'm not getting how to, I can't get this paragraph. I can't remember what the fuck's in this paragraph to pass this test to get in the military. Read again. Still not getting it. Read again. But if you're not getting it, write it out. And that's how I started learning. Okay, well, I got to write out every fucking thing I do. And then write it out again. And write it out again. And guess what happened? I got it. I can't swim. I'm negative buoyant. Go back again. I can't swim. Go back again. I got it. I realize if I keep going back and going back and going back until the shit just becomes, your mind will say, fuck, okay, we're going to figure it out.
It'll find a way.
Because he is not going to stop. It's not like, I'm going to try one more time. No. It's just like, alarm clock goes off, boop, we're going back. I can't read right. We're going back. I gave myself no way out. And my mind realized that. They said, okay, we're going to adapt and overcome now.
So you have to teach your mind this is the new normal.
This
and
is
you
the
better
new
get
norm.
With the fucking program.
That's right.
And as soon as it realizes that you're serious.
You're serious.
Then it adapts.
I'm not playing a game.
Right. But if it thinks you're playing a game, it knows.
It
and
knows.
It won't adapt.
It like a lot of people say, like when I say trying hard, your mind knows, man. You know, this guy's bullshitting me, man. This guy's lying. There's no truth behind it. When I was in Navy SEAL training, people go, how were you there for 18 months? The program was only 6 months long. You were in 3 hell weeks in 1 year. No one's ever done that. How did you do that? I talk about the new norm. When I lived in a $7 a month place when I was growing up for a short period of time, I loved it. I didn't know any different. That was my norm. Once we moved out of that place, we moved to a $236 a month place. I was like, shit, I never want to go back to that little piece of shit. But if you go back to that $7 a month place and you realize this is where I live, this is all I got. Your mind says, Roger that, this is home. So when I was going to Navy SEAL training for 18 months and going back through all the hard parts over and over again, I told myself after the first time, I knew it was going to be a long journey there. My body was breaking down. It was just how it was going on. I said, you know what? This is my new norm. So my mind said, it's like going to work. Like you go to work, you put your suit and tie on.
I go into suffering every day. Every day, suffering, being broken, duct taping my feet up, stress fractures, shin splints, being broken. This is my new norm. And your mind says, if we're not broken, this ain't normal. We got to be broken. So then your mind starts to get tougher and tougher and more callous. People go, how'd you run on broken feet? Broken shins. My mind knew this is how we operate. We're in Navy SEAL training. This is what we are. I became hell. And that became my new norm. I gave myself no way out. There was nothing outside these walls of hell. Nothing. I love God, but for a short period of time, I became the devil because that was hell. I became the boss, the owner, the CEO of Navy SEAL training. That was my mindset. And that's how you get through things. You put yourself, you immerse yourself in wherever it is, and you become that.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.